This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Tracy Gregoire. Mike is taking a couple of days off. And it is a gorgeous Wednesday out there. My whole family was outside eating on Elm Street right in front of the Beacon Building today. Oh, so
beautiful day for it.
I know. It's just really, really nice, which is so nice. So nice to be so nice.
Just something about this time of year and the weather. As much as I love the seasons, I wish we got more of these days. These days just make me smile. They give you a little spring in your step.
Isn't it true?
Motivate you to get more done. And I think we need some more days like this.
Yeah,
not
totally
too hot,
agree.
Not too cold, yeah. Not humid, just beautiful.
Yeah, it's perfect, perfect. Well, let's welcome on our next guest. We love talking to her weekly, and I can't wait to see her very soon, is Donna's Delights in Delaware. Hi, Donna. How are you?
Hi, Carol. Hi, Tracy. How
Hello.
Are you today?
Doing great, Donna. How are you?
I'm enjoying the weather, but always remember, ladies, every day we can get up, it's a good day. It's
true.
All good.
This is true. This is true.
Don't let no weather determine how you gonna feel. You always feel fabulous about
That's a good point. I have a little bracelet on my wrist right here, and it's a tiny little word that says positivity. So that is a very good point.
Mm-hmm. Because we can't let the weather, the kids, or the man determine how we gonna feel. Never.
Right you are.
There you
so
go.
How so how are you ladies been in New Hampshire?
We've been great.
Yeah.
Things have been really good. Mike is off today. But he'll be back
How
tomorrow.
How did he get off?
He asked for the day off, and I said yes.
You should work him until he can't work no more.
Oh, geez.
But see, Donna, then I wouldn't get to come on very often.
There you go.
You know what? That's right, Tracy. So we're going to let him have his day. And since Father's Day around the corner, then that's his present. I can understand that.
But he's got two more weeks coming.
Yeah, I know. Starting Monday, he's off for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yes.
It's going sailing.
Must be nice.
Yeah, definitely.
He's living the life. He's the man.
That's right. That's right. So what is happening with you down in Delaware, Donna?
Well, I just been getting ready to come up to New Hampshire. I'm trying to get my body right and tight so that when I come, it's going to be on. You know, we just going to live it up. We going to do it right.
It
New
is
Hampshire
going
style.
To be fun. Yes.
It's going to be more than fun because we're just going to blow the roof off.
Oh, boy.
Well, I will have to be involved in that. I'm
You got to be. You got to be. We're going to get everybody involved. You know, it's a party going on. It's going to be all night long like Lionel Richie.
Oh, oh, boy. All night long.
Hey, I remember Lionel Richie very vividly.
And the Jerry
that
Girl.
That was my time. Yep. That
girl,
was definitely during
Jerry
my
girl,
time.
But- Wait, I had a Jerry Curl, but we ain't going to get into that. We're going to get into this week's recipe, all right?
All right, I'm ready to hear it.
All right. With Father's Day being just around the corner and Mike's off, so, you know, happy Father's Day, Mike. I like to show the men in my life that I appreciate all they do for me. I don't care what TV portrays, but as a soul sister, I had a great father who's been married to my mama for 44 years, always came home every night, a little tipsy, a.k.a. tore up from the floor up, but he still came home. We had clothes and a house full of furniture that he sometimes got off the trash truck because he worked for the City of Newark Sanitation Department where he retired from. He would say, oh, that's some good stuff. So we always were like, all right, if it's good, we have to take it, but we ain't tell nobody you got it off the trash truck. And we always have food on our table. He was the only man that I know that would put gravy on his pancakes. And I mean any kind of gravy. It didn't matter, beef or chicken. He put it on his pancakes. I saw him put bean soup juice on his pancakes that my mama had cooked. Now, that's nasty. No matter what, I knew my daddy loved me, and he was a fine example of a good, God-fearing man. William Austin Earl is and always will be, in my book, the world's greatest daddy. I call him Maynard Jr. after his daddy, my papa, who worked on the Pennsylvania Railroad until he retired, raised 9 children on 6 acres of farmland, plus was married to my mama till death did them part. Good men, not perfect, but good. That is why I knew how to pick a father for my child. With the help of Miss Heather Headley, I can express this. Ted Johnson is my heart protector, the soul defender of anything I fear, the baby conceiver, the make-me-believer, the joy bringer, the love giver, the dough increaser, the pleasure releaser, the night school teacher, and the good life preacher, the caretaker, and the kiss graver. He is, sure enough, he is. Okay, I'm getting a little excited. I got to cool down now. Ooh, I got to cool down. Ooh, he is. But I love this man just like I love my daddy. I love them like a fat girl loves cake. They were my official taste testers for this week's recipe. The name of this week's recipe is I Love You Like a Fat Girl Loves Pound Cake, Ken. Now, if I rubbed you the wrong way by saying fat, let me set the record straight. The word is spelled P-H-A-T, meaning pretty, hot, and tempting. Ain't nothing wrong with being fat, and ain't nothing wrong with this cake. Now, this is what you'll need. 2 sticks of salted butter, 2 sticks of margarine. You'll need 4 to 6 drops of yellow food coloring. Depending on how yellow you like it, I like mine like sunshine. You'll need 6 eggs, room temperature. You'll need 2 2/3 cups of powdered sugar. You'll need 3.5 cups of cake flour. You'll need 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda. You'll need 1.5 cups of buttermilk. If you do not have buttermilk, you can substitute like I do. I used 1/2 and 1/2 and some fresh squeezed lemon juice, and I let that sit in the fridge for about an hour until I was ready for it. You'll also need 2 tablespoons of vanilla and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. You're going to preheat your oven at 325. Now, in a small bowl, you're going to sift together your flour, baking soda, and baking powder. Now, in a large bowl, this is what you're going to do. You're going to put that sugar, butter, and margarine, and food color, and you're going to cream that together. Make it all creamy now. Now that you got your sugar mix, you're going to beat your eggs one at a time with your hand mixer in. Put one egg in, do your happy dance. Put another egg in, do your happy dance. Next, you're going to pour in 1 cup of flour and a little buttermilk, and you're going to repeat this process until all your flour is mixed and incorporated into your batter. Now you're going to pour your vanilla and your fresh-squeezed lemon juice in. You're going to mix it up, ladies, because you're serving this to your man. Now, doing your happy dance, and you're going to send love to your cake. Pour your cake into a grease and flour bundt pan. I use powdered sugar to dust all my cake pans instead of flour. I like things a little sweet, just like I am. Now you're going to bake it at 325 for 70 minutes until you can stick a toothpick in the center and it comes out clean. You're going to let it cool in the pan for 15 minutes before removing it to a wire rack. Then you're going to turn it over and completely let it cool. Now, I served my big daddy, his, with strawberries and whipped cream. I sent my daddy the other half of the cake, and he had his with coffee in the morning. Two awesome men who love this fat girl like they love this pound cake. Can I get a woo woo?
Woo woo!
All right, girls, huh? Y'all guys do it for y'all's daddies today.
You know what, Donna? I have to tell you, pound cake is probably, I'm not a big sweet eater, but I love pound cake. And that recipe sounds delicious. It sounds very, very good.
I found 2 recipes. See, it was a pound cake that I really, really loved. And I'm not going to name the person, but I was like, can I get the recipe? And they wouldn't give it to me. So I was like, all right, it's all good. I found me a couple recipes, and I put it together, and I made my own pound cake.
There you go.
I know it's Father's Day coming up, and you mentioned 2 great men in your life, but I heard a term in there that you don't hear very often, and I believe you called your grandmother Mom.
Mm-hmm. Mama.
That is what I called my grandmother, Mom. Oh, do you know how hard it is to find a Mother's Day card that says Mom?
You make it.
True. And I did that. But one year I actually found one and I couldn't believe it. I grew up in Oklahoma, so maybe it's more. I called my grandmother Mom, and my grandfather was my Poppy.
Yeah, Mom and Pop Pop. You know, it takes a whole village to raise a child. And it took more than a village to raise this child. You know,
it sounds like a fun village. It certainly sounds like a fun village, though.
It was always on and crack-a-lacking in this village.
Crack-a-lacking. You know, Donna, you're, of course, you're calling into New Hampshire, and you're down in New Jersey. Well, Daryl's...
I ain't in Jersey, boo-boo. I'm in Delaware.
I mean Delaware. What am I talking about, Jersey?
I'm sorry. I meant Delaware.
I don't even know where that came from.
That's all right. It's all good.
But Daryl's cousin is listening to us right now. I believe she's probably at work from Maine. So Maine is listening to Delaware right now.
That's right. We ready to go internationally known.
See?
We're gonna be internationally known. You hear me? They're gonna be like, "You in Tokyo? Tokyo? What you doing in Tokyo?" Yeah, girl, this chick is in Tokyo.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny. You're awesome. Well, thank you, Donna, so much.
Before I go, I'd like to give a shout out and for Happy Father's Day to Alan O. Smith, my mom's dad, the good Reverend Doctor, also my favorite uncle in the world, Thomas Earl, also Uncle Stanley Earl, who is one of the greatest examples of a single dad. Also to my three brothers, Dude, Devin, and Tope, and my brother-in-laws, Terrence and Troy, and my son, Azeem, and I want to send some kisses to heaven to my father-in-law, Papa Ted, and my Uncle June, a.k.a. John Brown. Remember, life is for living, and food is for giving, and Donna's ready to serve up that fat girl pound cake, because I love y'all all like a fat girl loves cake. I'm out.
Keen.
Bye, Donna. Oh, she's already gone. Trust me. She's already gone.
Oh,
doesn't that just lift your spirits?
With Donna from Delaware.
She is just so cool. I can't wait until she comes. I'm actually a little nervous. Oh my gosh.
Tons of energy.
So funny. But before we go on to break, Jean Kerr here was here yesterday of Northeast Flavor Magazine.
Yes.
And she was so kind to leave me here some foodie. Have you ever heard of these foodie flashcards?
No.
And
oh, I heard you reading them yesterday. I didn't realize that's what they were.
Yeah, it's foodie flashcards. I mean, who would have ever thought that they'd have something like this? But I was just kind of going through them a little bit. And did you ever hear of this word, resi?
Nope.
It's in the food world.
R-E-Z-Z-I-E. Resi.
Resi. A resi is a slang for a reservation at a restaurant. A reservation at a restaurant. Isn't that kind of funny?
So next time I go home to make a reservation, I'm going to call up and say, "Hey, I'd like to make a resi."
A resi.
They're going to be like,
"Really?" I thought that was kind of cute. But I was kind of reading these, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I never
got any other good ones in
some
there?
Of this stuff. Let me see.
I liked the one yesterday. Was it Boucha?
Amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche. I actually looked it up, but I didn't call in.
Well, why didn't you?
I don't know. I was driving.
Amuse-bouche. We did talk about that a little bit, but it's a... And, you know, they're kind of... I wouldn't say popular, but you kind of see certain chefs do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who does do it is Chris over at Blue Aqua.
Oh,
they'll do
an
amuse-bouche.
Yes.
Yeah. It is a one or two bite complimentary dish served before a meal. It's like sometimes served like on a spoon. Have you ever had one? Do you know what I'm talking
not,
about?
No.
Yeah, it's served like on, kind of one of those little fancy spoons. You just take the bite.
And you don't get like a say-so in order. It's just something the chef decides to make and presents it to you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a one bite, kind of thing. So it's kind of cool. Kind of neat. Amuse-bouche. I like saying it.
I do too.
All right. I think we're going to go on a break. And when we come back, my dad, George Lawrence, will be here. He's, he has some really, really wicked good chicken recipe and some kind of special sauce that he used. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hey, Dad.
Already?
Man, that went quick.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Tracy Gregoire. And it's a gorgeous Wednesday. And it's just about 1:30. And we just had a great time with Donna.
We did.
And it's Donna in Delaware. And I just have to tell you, listeners, this is kind of funny because I was saying that Daryl's cousin is listening in Maine. And she's the one that texted me and said, I'm listening to that girl in Jersey. So I was like stuck in my head. I was wondering where Jersey came from.
So it's not your fault.
So yeah, it wasn't my fault. It's Debbie's fault. So I'm blaming it on Debbie. Oh my God, that's funny. But anyway, so Dad, welcome welcome to
yes.
the show. And I can't
Thank
wait
you. Thank you.
To hear about this chicken. I've been yeah. telling the listeners this, too, so this, I think they can't wait either.
I can't wait to make it again.
So when did you make it?
Last night.
I know, and he didn't bring us any. Did you notice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody's bringing us anything today.
Us food. What the heck? It's yeah. a food show.
It's pretty good. It's different. It's different.
So, George, did you find this recipe, or did you create it on your own last night?
I had the sauce recipe from another restaurant.
Okay.
And I had never used it. And I don't know where the heck it was. It was somewhere in Boston. I know where it is, but the restaurant's not there anymore. And the guy told me. You know, like that. And I just put it together, and that's what I do. I file it, and sometimes I go back on it, and I can't figure it out, but I figured it out. You know, sometimes I my own shorthand, you know. But anyway, it came out very, very well, so I must have took the notes correctly.
And then you added stuff to it yourself?
No, I do. I always improvise. Mm-hmm. I did improvise in this one.
All right.
Because the original recipe on this calls for a 2.5-pound chicken. And do you know why a 2.5-pound chicken?
No.
You can't buy one. Because the meat purveyors and vendors sell you pounds. You know, pounds. So 2.5 pounds is a very tender. And a 3.5 and a 4-pound chicken is what they like because they get so much a pound.
Mm-hmm.
It's that hard to buy. You can't even buy it anymore now at the chicken place there. We go and hooks it.
Poultry products.
You can't get no more 2.5-pounders.
Are you kidding?
And when you do find it, like you can't go to Boston or something. I'm positive you can. But not around here. Just, you know, you got to get stuck with 80-pound minimums. You know? But anyway, I just thought I'd bring it out to the listeners. If you can find a 2.5-pound chicken, which I cannot ever in this city, I can't.
But they're more tender.
Yeah, you
that.
Go to Sam's, it's a 5-pound chicken.
Wow.
You know, they're okay.
And you think that's a good thing?
No, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, you think, oh, a big chicken like that.
Yeah, people
feed.
Do,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
But they're just, the ones you buy for 4 or 5, they were young broilers. They're still tender, but there's nothing like a 2.5-pounder.
Oh,
you know,
that's
just perfect.
Good tip.
So this is where I changed it. I went and get myself some split chicken breasts. I didn't take them where they were monsters, but they were big enough. And split means it's got the bone in, and it's got the skin on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this recipe is all about. So anyways, we start with that. And we just put them in a nice saute pan, something nice and heavy, and cook it up real hard and put some rosemary leaves on it. I never really worked with rosemary a lot. It's very good. It's not harsh. It has a nice mild flavor. Mm-hmm. And you can't really know it's there, but it's there.
Rosemary is the one that you have to pick off of
the
stem, right?
Yes, the
right.
Like little
but
skinny.
This here, and he said it, I remember him telling me dried rosemary leaves, you know, because it's a lot more economical to buy. I went to Chisco. If you can find it in the stores, it's that little container, and it's pricey, and which doesn't matter. I went to Chisco to say I'd get a bigger one, you know. It comes in a can, this big, round. I'll seal the whole bit. $3.64.
Wow.
So if you want some rosemary,
Cheese
I'll bring some over to you. No, but I got more than I ever use.
Wait, what is Cheesco?
Cheesco is a purveyor, a wholesaler right here off of Eddy Road in Manchester that anybody can go in.
Anybody can go in.
I drive by Eddy Road it's every day to go home.
Remember
what
Coca-Cola used to be?
Yeah.
Go right in that road, go around and back, and you see Cheesco is open every night till 6 o'clock, 7 days a week. And I'm telling you, you will go there often.
On this show.
You will go often. Everybody,
right,
even the public.
Yeah, lots
it's
of people
fantastic.
Go there. It's like a little hidden jewel.
Yeah, it is. They even have tenderloins in there.
Yeah.
And it's local beef. But he said he has never had a complaint. I saw one last night. A nice tenderloin. It was $59. I mean, anywhere else, it's $100.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
But it's like beef you'd get from LeMay's. It's been hand-picked. You can tell by the color.
Right.
You know? Hey, we're moving off the subject.
That's okay. We're talking food. But, it's all fun.
It's all about food. I like to give, you know, Carol and I were always that way. We like to give the information we have to the public, and it's very nice. So anyways, we got the chicken going in a hot pan with some EVOO to start, skin down. Cook it at high temperature, and with EVO and some rosemary leaves. That's all it was. I put a little salt.
No, hold on. The whole chicken.
No, we went to breasts.
Oh, sorry.
Split breasts.
We went to breasts. It's supposed to be. I'm just using
bone-in
that
split
I changed
breast.
It. Right.
Got it.
Split chicken, boneless breast. I mean skin and bone. So it's in there frying up a storm, making a messier stove, which I really noticed. And till it gets just a little bit of black tinge on the skin. Because you like crunchy.
I love that.
Yeah, it's the whole idea. When you see that, you just take the tongs and flip it over to the backside. And you don't have to cook it right through, but it will cook by itself. Mine wasn't cooked through, and I knew that, because you're prepping. Now, you can take it out of that pan. You can wrap it up tight, put it back in the refrigerator, and use it tomorrow. Use it the next day, like a restaurant would.
Right.
That's prepping.
Right.
So then now let's get back to the sauce, okay? Now we have to make a nice lemon sauce.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it was really nice. And then I have to cue myself here so I won't forget it.
Ooh, okay. Hold on, listeners. He's just getting his tablet up.
Yeah, I want to make sure I got it all right here. Okay, now we're going to make lemon sauce. Yeah, that's what it was. In a pan on low heat, we're going to take a half a cup of olive oil. Half a cup, which isn't a lot. I thought it was a lot. It's only 4 ounces. And half a cup of lemon juice. That's where it comes in.
Oh.
Okay. 1 tablespoon of crushed garlic. Crushed garlic.
Okay.
And a pinch of oregano. And it says, you know, he had told me 1 tablespoon, but I knew it was going to be too much. I put 1 teaspoon of salt and 1/2 teaspoon, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. And some red wine vinegar. The red wine vinegar was 1 tablespoon. Yeah, I remember the recipe called for 1 or 2. I said 1 and a little bit more. I didn't want to go to 2. It'd be too vinegary. And that's all it is. You stir that on low heat. Just stir it up real nice. It wants to separate, but it's okay because you use a ladle. So we'll say it's 2 hours before or 2 hours later. You're having guests over for dinner. Your chicken, you take it out. Get that pan going again, because I like the pan to be very hot. Put your broiler on.
With the juice in it.
No. Well, no. No, the pan is separate. You made your sauce in a separate saucepan.
Okay, so that's separate.
That's
then you're going to take your other pan that you seared your chicken in.
Right. Take that pan. You know, the next day it'll be nice and clean.
Oh,
you're going to
do
it in 2 hours.
Okay,
it's the same
pan.
You have to clean it up. But all those little bits in it, that makes it good.
Right.
You lose that the next day. And then you get that good and hot, because you put your broiler on, set to high. And you ladle some of that sauce, special sauce, into that hot pan.
Okay.
Not too hot. Don't bubbling it over. You just want it hot so it'll boil from both sides. Right. And you put your chicken back in, skin down. Skin down. And you just ladle. Ladle each piece of chicken. That's all you do. Just keep ladling. Till you have about 1/2 inch, maybe 1/4 inch on the bottom. It's like not wanting to float. It's just in it. And you put it under the broiler. Maybe 5 minutes watching it. If you think it's dry a little bit, ladle some more of your lemon sauce on you. You're getting ready. You know, like me, when I do that, my plates are ready. My French fries have been pre-cooked. And, you know, I'm trying to get it all the time.
Dad has a fry layer in his kitchen.
Oh. Yeah, I did that last night. And, all right, so you're almost ready, but before that 5 minutes is up, watch the handle, it's hot. Grab it out and put some peas in there. I used fresh frozen last night. Right in there with a chopped up prosciutto.
Ooh.
I knew this was going to do it, you know? And more sauce. So you can see I have a picture of it, I'll show it to you after. And that's it. Prosciutto, peas,
and the lemon sauce. And then put it under the broiler.
Under the broiler. It's all done.
That sounds really good.
Then what you do is you serve it, you flip it over, and you get the crusty chicken skin, and you put a little bit more sauce because it's kind of drenched a little bit, but with the peas and a prosciutto. Serve that with a, well, we have French fries and a salad.
So the peas, when you put them in, they're frozen. All over.
Yeah. Well, I had
Mike. You did defrost them.
I defrost. Okay. I mic'd them a little bit with a little bit of butter. Mm-hmm. You know, I love butter. I don't care what people say. You know, I did that, and that was all set. So
all
I
right.
Just
so you did put them in already warmed.
That was already waiting for me. So you had the peas waiting for you. The prosciutto was all chopped up, so mm-hmm. I was just able to do it. And the broiler just took that and crunched it up some more. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say be careful with your salt, it's salty.
Yeah, the prosciutto, you know, prosciutto is salty. Has salt in it.
And that was it. We dined with delight.
It sounds nice and light, too.
It
doesn't sound heavy.
The lemon isn't heavy. You know, right. The oil isn't too much.
Right. It sounds good.
I mean,
Daryl would love that.
I couldn't believe how good it was. So that is a hit.
That sounds really good. Well, you need to send me that recipe so we can put it up on Food for Thought NH listeners so that you can check out our recipe. I believe that my social media girl, Amy, who's like the best social media girl ever, I think we have a Pinterest pages. Food for Thought Pinterest. Okay. So our recipes will all be up on there. So send me that. And if you have a picture, you said.
Yeah, I have a picture.
Okay.
Just last
all right. Well, send me the picture, too. Yeah. You are listening to Food for Thought. Dad is in the house, George Lawrence. He's talking food and tips and tricks and recipes and pointers. And I know Tracy has a couple of things over there, too. So you are listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 The Pulse. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And in for Mike today is Tracy Gregoire on this gorgeous Wednesday. And Mike will be back tomorrow, though. And we're in studio with my dad, George Lawrence. He's just gave a great chicken recipe. And it will be up on foodforthoughtnh.com. Soon, you know, sometimes it takes my social media girl a couple of days, but it'll be up there.
Yeah, that's a good one. Try it all out.
Well, the picture, listeners, looks absolutely beautiful. So the picture will accompany it as well on the website. So, and Dad, you have a caller. You have Paul on the line. Hi, Paul. How are you?
And a bright and cheerful good afternoon to you, Carol.
Thank you.
Hi, Paul. Listen, what's your question?
George, I've got a question for you. It's that time of year, strawberry rhubarb pie. You got any tips or pointers to make the perfect strawberry rhubarb pie?
I'm not really a baker, Dad.
No, I'm not in the baking department, but...
It
was always under my... You know,
Meme used to do
that. Yeah, my mother...
So should I address this to Carol?
Oh, no, I am definitely not a baker, Paul.
We're not... We're into the meat and potato things and a little bit better
than
that.
There you go. Yeah, but
strawberry, and you know why also? We have great apple pie recipes and stuff like that. But strawberry rhubarb is very seasonal. And that's
right.
The reason. You know, we just never did it. When we did it, we cheated a little bit. And we buy real, real good, high quality, you know, pre-made. You know, the canned, the good
right.
stuff. It makes a big difference when you're paying 10, 12 bucks a can. You know what I mean? I mean, on the number 10s. But no, I wish I could help you. There you go. You go to Cheesco. I'm going to tell you. You won't be sorry. Cheesco is on Eddy Road in Manchester, right off the old Coca-Cola building. You go in here and get a can of strawberry rhubarb. And all you have to do to that, you don't do nothing. But if you want to taste it, just add a little sugar to it. It'd be the best you've ever had. I mean, you'll never go back to the other way.
Yeah, see, I've got the rhubarb in the backyard.
I don't blame you.
Well, Paul, then you can help us then and help
us right.
because I actually,
Call
my neighbor, my neighbor actually was just given some rhubarb by her mother, and she really didn't know what to do with it. She stuck it in the ground, but she's like, I don't know if I did it right, so you grow it. Maybe you can give us some tips.
Yeah, right.
Well, it grows like a weed. It's wonderful.
It is. I remember years ago my mother making it, but I was awful young, and I liked
right.
it.
Right. See, I'll go 2.5 cups of strawberries, 2.5 cups of rhubarb.
Right.
I was told to use an instant tapioca pudding in lieu of cornstarch.
Oh, that makes sense, though, you know.
It would
absorb, you know.
Yeah, I'm a cornstarcher as long as I don't use too much. But you're right, tapioca pudding would work.
Yeah, instant.
Touch
and then half and half on the sugar, brown and white sugar.
Well, I don't know, Paul. It sounds pretty darn good. I know enough. I know enough to know that that sounds like a nice recipe. It really does. I'd make sure there's enough sugar is the key. Apple pie that's not sweet is no good.
Because rhubarb is kind of sour.
Yeah,
not sour,
it's sour,
tart,
so
right?
You want, yeah, it's tart.
Right, but we don't want to go too sweet because the strawberries are sweet too.
Right.
That's right. You're doing both, and that's the right way to do it.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to slap one together, and I'll give you a call.
That's good. I'm sorry I couldn't help you, but you just helped me. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank
you, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, that's good. That sounds good.
That does sound
good. I like
good.
Rhubarb. I really do.
That's
really
something else I have never tried.
Me neither.
Never.
No.
Me neither.
Well, I never tried to make it. Oh, my gosh.
I've never tasted it either.
Do you have to peel it like the rhubarb?
I heard, yeah.
I don't know. Well, I remember there's some tenders like asparagus.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not going to say something I don't know, but I know there's parts in it that are tough.
Yeah.
You must have to cut it off or lob it off on the end.
Interesting.
But yeah, when you're baking it.
Right, that's true.
Stay
but you
away.
Know what? I mean, you can get really any recipes from the internet.
I know.
You think about
it.
Just, go right onto the internet and
YouTube videos,
and
my
YouTube videos, you're right.
Show you how to
they
do
even
it.
Show you. Isn't it unbelievable?
It's true. So what do you have over there, Trace?
So I have some kind of, I think it's kind of big news that happened yesterday. So I found this on abcnews.com, and the title of it is FDA Tells Food Industry to Phase Out Artificial Trans Fats.
Right.
So I'm just going to read a little bit of it here. Yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration ordered food companies to phase out artificial trans fats, calling them a threat to public health, which we've kind of known that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers aren't likely to notice much of a difference in their favorite foods, but the administration says the move will reduce coronary heart disease and prevent thousands of fatal heart attacks every year. Scientists say there are no health benefits to the fats, which are used in processing food and in restaurants, usually to improve the texture, shelf life, or flavor. They can raise levels of bad cholesterol and lower good cholesterol, increasing the risk of heart disease and the leading cause of death in the United States. So some people, I know people hear about partially hydrogenated oils,
right.
Trans fats, maybe not necessarily know that they're the same thing. The fats are created when hydrogen is added to vegetable oil to make it more solid, which is why they're often called partially hydrogenated oils. So among the foods that commonly contain trans fats, which a lot of us know kind of commonly, frostings, pie crust, biscuits, microwave popcorn, coffee creamers, frozen pizza, refrigerated dough, vegetable shortenings, and stick margarines. And to phase out the fats, the FDA made a preliminary determination way back in 2013 that partially hydrogenated oils no longer fall in the agency's, quote, generally recognized as safe, unquote, category, which covers thousands of additives that manufacturers can add to foods without FDA review. So now they're saying you can't do that because they're not considered generally safe. The agency made that decision final yesterday, giving food companies until June 2018 to phase them out.
Wow.
Yep. And this is it said someplace in there about Obama being a part of this. I don't recall where I saw that, but for now, the agency is recommending that consumers take a look at ingredient lists because they do have 3 years to phase them out. And ingredients listed on packaged foods to make sure they don't contain partially hydrogenated oils. Once the 3-year compliance period is up, none of those ingredients would be allowed unless the FDA specifically approves them. So
yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
I heard the same article. Well, same. You have much more detail. I heard it on the news, Fox News. I have that on my car all the time. And the only thing it added, which was too bad, that's the cost you have to pay. It's going to cost the consumer $6 to $8 billion more.
Why?
To make it the correct way. And they are not going to argue the consensus of the manufacturers. They're going to be within a year. There'll be no more.
Really?
They don't want to fight it. It's just lost
cost.
Yeah,
so they'll just do it quicker. No. So then they're going to charge more.
Charge more.
Mm.
It was 6 to 9 billion.
Yeah, that wasn't in
billion.
There.
I couldn't believe it. Cool. Hey, it's a big, big world.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's a good thing. That's why I don't like margarine. When you melt margarine, that's what you see in the bottom of that thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to take that in there. I always said that. I have less butter. I have no
that's
margarine.
True. They, yeah. I mean, they've been saying that, you
it's
know, a lot.
It's not good for you.
you know, use butter instead of margarine.
And remember all the fast food places like, you know, McDonald's and all of them, Burger King and all that, the fry later oil, they used to use pure lard. It was the worst thing you could consume. And they stopped that.
Yeah.
You know, they put the heat on it a little bit. Okay.
Well, it's the same as sugars. You know, they come out with all the artificial stuff that's supposed, and then they just say, go back to the natural sugar. It's basically the most natural form that you can have something
10 calories in a teaspoon of sugar? It's nothing.
Maybe it's something low like that.
I could not believe.
Yeah. But it's just better to have a little bit of regular. Exactly.
Have less. That's how I run my diet anyway.
Moderation. Everything in moderation. You know, really. Dad, do you have anything right there?
I just have some household tips. This is called a strawberry tip. Fresh strawberries.
Tis the season.
Wash freshly picked strawberries and then take a wide plastic straw and insert it at the bottom of the strawberry, then push the stem out.
Really?
And, you know, I always have a hard time. I'm holding and I take my sharp paring knife on an angle, and you lose a good part of your strawberry.
Yeah, you do. So straw in the bottom.
In the bottom. Push it out. And the piece stays inside. You just push it through.
I got a quick strawberry thing, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I saw this, gosh, I don't even remember where I saw it, Facebook or something. You know, chocolate-covered strawberries. Yeah. It's hard to say. You know, you have to dip them or whatever, and they kind of can get messy. Ice cube tray, melt your chocolate, pour it in, stand your strawberries up in each of the trays.
Yeah. That's
freeze
cool.
it, and then you, and pop, then it you pop it out, and you've got this slice.
Little squares of chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, what could be better?
And you have a handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's nice on that one.
That's pretty cool.
All right, what else?
I like that tip.
The other one is a measuring tip. Rinse a measuring cup in hot water before using syrups and oils. You will pour out clean and not stick to the cup.
I love that.
And nothing worse than doing molasses or something that is really gooey, you know?
I wonder
what
if that would
do?
Work
you use
for
a lot of
like,
hot water to take it off.
I wonder if that would work for like peanut butters and
I don't think so.
Like
well, it must have a sense, but it's kind of thick.
Yeah.
You know? Then this is a cute one here. Baking fruit pies. Now, I would have never, whoever come up with this has got to be, I don't know, should put a patent out on it. You know, you cook a baked fruit, anything like strawberry rhubarb pie, apple pie, blueberry pie, how it spills into your oven.
Mm.
But we know enough to put some big liners underneath it so you won't mess up your automatic oven that you just have to push the button to get it clean. You know, I get a kick out of that. No, put something on it. You've got self-cleaner.
Not me. My stove is from the 50s.
So cut 4 slits into the top pie crust and stand 1 piece of tubed pasta in each slit. Choose pasta at least 2 or 3 inches long, like cannelloni or cut ziti work very well. The juices, when cooking, will bubble up the pasta pipe and back down into the pie instead of running all over your oven.
Genius.
That is cool.
That's cool. I can't wait to try it.
I know.
Because I like apple pie. I like apple pie, and it always, he's letting us know
that's
heavy.
That's scary.
If you could have seen Carol jump, that was awesome.
Thanks, Bob.
But that's a good one. You won't forget that one.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, I can't wait to try it on apple pie.
I know.
It always spills over.
You have to let us know, though, does it bubble up over your beautiful pie crust?
No, it won't. It stays up the vent.
Oh,
see, it's like a little chimney.
Back down the vent.
You put it in and just keep it up high. So it bubbles up. Don't go over the edge.
Yeah.
That's why I said to use a ziti that's long.
Okay.
And down again, goes back inside.
Love the tips. Thank you.
And you know what I just want to say? Up next is Kale & Company. And Ken Kale, last night, they had that big Monarch celebration last night. And I saw beautiful pictures of Ken and the team and everything on you know, on Facebook. So just congratulations to him and the team.
Definitely.
So, yeah, for sure.
Very exciting.
Company up next. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Mike is back tomorrow. So bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.